Good evening, and thank you for tuning into the Fire Shut Up My Bones podcast. Let's start reading in Jonah chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon, wickedness has come up before me. Let's read again. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Go with them unto Tarshish from... But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down unto the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what of people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon the innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and in the floods compassed me about. All the billows thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. By the way, the word vowed in the Bible is so fascinating. There's a part in the Bible where it talks about forget not the benefits of the Lord, and it mentions vows again. Something that we all ought to study. Vows unto the Lord. Hey, the Lord saved you. The best thing you can do for him is glorify the Lord. Sacrifice your time for him. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Heavenly Father, please help me say the proper thing without being far from what you want me to say, I should say. Help us through that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A very popular story, Jonah disobeying the Lord. And what I find interesting about this passage of scripture is that not only is Jonah running away from the Lord, but he knows that he's running away from the Lord. And the reason why that's astonishing to me is that there are some people out there, they're running from God. And it's like they either don't see it or they really are rebellious towards it. But in verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now that's a very important thing there. The word of the Lord, the pages of this book, the Bible, is the words of God, the God of the universe, the God that created everything. These words are important. Hold on 1 second. I need to look for something. All right. Yeah, these are the words of God, and we ought to pay attention to it. The Bible talks about how thou hast magnified thy word above thine own name. It's not just paper like some idiots say. It's not just a Bible. It's not just a book. It's not fairy tales. This Bible here is the word of God. Now, and as Christians, that's what we have going for us. Jonah, Abraham, Moses, and all of them, they didn't really have, other than the law and some stuff written down, but they didn't have a complete Bible yet. But a lot of times the Lord spake unto them. Now today we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have the complete Bible. So we have the word delivered unto us, and we ought to obey it. And we ought not to disobey it, for disobeying means you are running from the Lord, and that's what Jonah did here. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. He rejected the special word of God, the commands of God, and to do his own thing. What I really want to talk about today is this, because we hear that tossed around, that phrase, running from God. Oh, he's running from God. So-and-so's running from God. I never really thought about that until recently. You know, some preachers or peers will say, oh, he's running from God. He can do this, he can do that. But is he really running from God? Is he disobeying? Because honestly, if you say that someone is running from God, then that means he's disobeying God. And the thing is, do you think that God called him to do that? And there's a big difference, in my opinion, between God calling someone and you thinking that person is called of God to do a certain job. It's not a good thing to call someone to preach. You should let God call them to preach. It's not a good thing to call everyone into this ministry or that ministry. You leave that. If that person is doing the general of God, leave that person to the Lord. Encourage them. And I think God will show them what they need to do. I hope I'm making sense, but what I want to preach on today, and I believe God showed this to me this morning. I really thought about it hard. Am I running from God? This is something we all need to think about, because we ought to get closer to the Lord. This is our reasonable service. That's to obey the Lord and do His will. But really think about that. Am I running from God? Notice with me the clear word from God. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now God told Jonah to preach unto the Ninevites. They were pagans. They had skulls piled up on top of the place. They were worshiping Nimrod. They had on their gates, they had this thing that was half man and half beast. And it was a depiction of Nimrod and Tammuz. Okay. Because Nimrod and from Babylon, what was he? He was, according to history, he was a horse breaker. He broke horses. So that was attributed to him. So they had that on their gates. They did all kinds of wicked things. Like I said, I mentioned now, you know, skulls were piled up in front of their place of murdering people. And not only that, you have to remember too, Jonah was also a military man. He warred with these people. They took Nineveh took some of Israel's land. And he's like, man, I have to go witness to these idiots. And but anyway, nevertheless, the word of the Lord trumps all that. The word of the Lord unmistakably came to Jonah, and Jonah rejected it. The clear word of God. Now, Jonah was commanded to do a work that was to give the gospel to the Ninevites. Now, what about us? What do we have going for us? What word is delivered unto us? The answer very simply is this: the Bible. The Bible was given unto us. That is the word of God. The word of the Lord came to us, and it's called the Bible. I want you to look at this with me as far as disobedience goes. My friend sent me this. It was so encouraging. Running from God is prolonged disobedience to the clear will word of God. What does the Bible say? Okay, do we obey His word? Do we obey His word like it says in... Now, I have some verses written here. There's so many verses about this subject, but I choose only a few for time's sake. Am I running from God? I want you to think about that. Noah was given a command, the word of God, and what did he do? He disobeyed. Remember this definition that my friend sent me. Running from God is prolonged disobedience to the clear word of God. By the way, if God hasn't told you to do it, like he said, it's not disobedience. I'm going to reiterate this a couple times, but be very careful of people calling you to ministry rather than God calling you to ministry. Don't fall for peer pressure. You will be miserable. You will fail, and you will embarrass yourself quitting because you find out that God didn't call you to that ministry, but your peers called you to that ministry. Be very careful of that. John 15:14. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Okay, you want to be a friend of God, obey the Lord. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Great Commission, that's found in Matthew 28:18. Let's go there. And through 20. Let's do 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever things I've commanded you. Okay? Where can we find the commands? The Bible. Okay? And I'm with you all the way even until the end of the earth. 18. Let's go back up to that because I should definitely read that part. Come on, baby. Why is this not turning? Okay, here we go. Okay, that's good enough. Okay, yeah, that's the Great Commission. Passing out gospel tracts is a wonderful way to get the gospel out. Wherever you go, represent the Lord in your testimony and hand out them tracts. Okay, another will of God. This is a command delivered unto us, similar to Jonah. Church attendance. You know, we should be in church. You know, we have it now. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Go to church. You shouldn't be skipping it for judo, wrestling, baseball, football, the Redskins game, some stupid movie on a Sunday. That is disobeying the word of God. If you do that kind of stuff, you're running from the Lord. Go with me to Hebrews 10:25 in regards to attending church. It says they're not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Malachi 3:10, tithing, giving 10% unto the Lord. You know, when you don't tithe, you're robbing God. But there's several verses indicating that this is definitely command to tithe, about tithing. You need to tithe, I need to tithe. Malachi 3:10. Okay, I'm finally here. Praise God. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. I felt that right there. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Oh my goodness. That's so true. Wow. Tithe. That's the commandment of the Lord. That's a good verse right there. The Bible says, I'm young and now I'm old, yet have I seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Trust the Lord and tithe. Be kind. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another. Conform into this world. You shouldn't do that. That's Romans 12:1-2. Be not conformed to this world. Okay? Don't let the world mold you. You're on Facebook. You want to shave off your head and do all kinds of weird stuff and put weird polka dots in it. Drinking beer like everybody else. Playing rap music like everybody else. Country music, whatnot. Just posting stupid stuff in your media. And when people see you, you don't even look like you're a child of God. Why? Because you're running away from the commands of God. Remember what my friend said. Running from God is prolonged disobedience to the word of God. Long hair. You shouldn't have long hair, the Bible says. It's a shame unto a man to have long hair. The command to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And then and 1 Corinthians 6:20. Glorify God. That's your job. Okay, now there's so many verses about this tithing, giving to missions, soul winning. Verses about teaching, preaching. The point and fact of the matter is this: just like Jonah, let me go back to Jonah. Just like Jonah, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Hey, let's remind ourselves: the word of the Lord came unto us. We have the Bible, the words of God. We have to obey it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, that's an interesting statement. I have found in my life that's the Bible is what I talk about the most. And I'm not bragging. I will brag on this. The Lord is good. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. That's why I can't stop talking about the Lord. I have friends. I talk to them about God every day. My parents, we talk about God. Man, every day. I'm not exaggerating. My wife, we try to. Every day. I try to listen to preaching every day. I read my Bible every day. Why is that? The Lord is good. And the more you find that the Lord is good, the harder you'll find to slack off. Do you have dry spells? Yes. But that's when you have to dig deep. But for the most part, God is so fascinating and so good. That's why I talk about him so much. That the book shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This should be a thought process, the Bible. That thou mayest observe to do. Now look at this. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Hey, do we obey and observe what is written on the pages of this book, the Bible? These are the words of God. Just like that lady on FBN says, the word of God, that down there in North Carolina. According to all that is written therein, for there thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, do you want to have success and blessings in life? Listen to the word of God. Amen. So those are just a few verses that I wrote down on this thing. But the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And guess what? The word of the Lord came unto us. If you're not obeying the Bible, you're running from God. If I'm not obeying the Bible, I'm running from God. Okay? Running from God. You know, sometimes you have a family. They come to church. They try their best to be faithful to church. They tithe. They try to eschew evil in the household. But just because you're not with them 24/7 doesn't mean they're not serving the Lord. Right? And not only that too. I refuse to post what I do for the Lord on social media. I downright flat refuse. I'm not going to post on there that I gave out a gospel track. And let so-and-so to the Lord about sitting there and Dunkin' Donuts. That's silly. You could lose your reward. You know, I heard a sermon about that in the Walk the Walk class years ago. And I'm like, I am not going to be bragging about what I do for the Lord on social media. Okay, but just because you don't see a person posting what they do for the Lord on social media, it doesn't mean they're not living for the Lord. Think about it. If you see a man for the past 10 plus 20 years, you see God blessing him. His kids are living right. His wife is living right. He's living right. They're faithful to church. But I don't see them on the bus. Don't judge the outward appearance with how spiritual they are. You don't know what they're... You don't see them on their hands and knees praying for so-and-so. You don't see him out in the street on his private time passing out tracts. You don't see him going to the park somewhere to randomly talk to a man about Jesus Christ. You don't know what they do. Like, just like in Mark, when the disciples were like, hey, who are these guys? They don't walk with us, but they're casting out demons and all this. Who are these people, right? Hey, don't exclude them. You never know. And by the way, you shouldn't even be paying you... Comparing yourself to them. The Bible says comparing yourself to others is not wise. So you're like, oh, I don't see them on the bus. I don't see them here. I don't see them at VBS or whatnot. Hey, you don't know what they're doing. Okay? As long as you, my friend, you know for a fact that the best you're trying to do, that you're trying to obey the words of God, you're not running from God. All right? And let's keep moving. Now, sometimes problems in our life could either mean two things, trials or chastisement. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12, 13. Hey, guys, I just want to throw this out there. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't know how to make points and all this kind of stuff. And those are great. I like them, but I'm just reading verses here and just preaching what God showed me this morning, okay? This was a blessing to me, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's go to past it. Oh, man, where is this thing? Okay, good. I'm in Peter's zone. I'm in the Peter zone now. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, to test you, to prove who God is, man. Okay, I just threw that out there. As though some strange thing is happening to you, like, what's going on? But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Okay, there's other verses about that. You know, count it all blessings, you know, I need to find that verse. But the point in fact of the matter is, when God sends trials your way, he's trying to temper you. You know, when you make a good samurai sword, you have a hunk of metal, you got to throw some carbon in there. And hammer that thing about 2,000 times. It's just called tempering. Okay? That's what the Christian life is about. These hardships, it causes you to rely on God and see how good God is. The Lord is looking for a man to show himself strong, so you know. And that's what trials are for. But if other problems happen in your life, you're like, man, why are these problems happening? Am I in sin? Is there someone, is there a Christian that I was mean to? Am I mean to my wife? Am I holding back at my tithe? Am I skipping church? Am I listening to rock and roll music? I think I said skipping church. Am I skipping church? What am I doing? Am I looking at porn? Why are these things happening to me in my life? And if you're saved, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you ask Jesus to save you, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have done this, you're a Christian. And guess what? You are a child of God. God gave you the power to be the sons of God through Jesus Christ, right? So therefore, if you're the son of God, guess what? When you mess up, when you disobey God, he spanks you. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7. And if you see someone out there, and nothing happens to so-and-so, well, you know, maybe they're not saved. Hebrews 12, 7 through 9. It says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the Spirit and live? Okay, I'll stop right there. There's more to say about that, but listen. The Lord God is your spiritual father when you believed on his name. If you believe on his name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you believed in Jesus Christ, you became the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. When you disobey God openly, guess what happens to you? You get chastised. Why is that? Because the Lord loves you and he wants to correct you. That's what the Lord does. Let's go back to Jonah. This is what happened to him. He was getting chastised. He belonged to God. And let's nail this home. Am I running from God? Look what Jonah did. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Okay, the word came unto Jonah. What did he do? He rejected it. He disobeyed the word. He ran away from it. Okay, disobedience is fleeing from God and presence. That's what he did. Look what happened to Jonah. Look with me. Notice with the cause of evil. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for what cause this evil is upon us? Like, what in the world is going on? This ship looks like it's about to break. We threw everybody's cargo off. We're about to sink. What is going on? So they said, what is thy occupation? Like, what do you do? Are you a pastor? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? By the way, a long time ago, Muslims did not sin. They didn't go on to go to America because they're afraid of being converted. America was known for its Christianity. Look what they asked him. What is thy country? Is America known by its Christianity? Can we say, hey, you act very Christ-like. Are you from America? Okay. No, we cannot. It's sad. We're far from that. And what people art thou? And here's what Jonah says. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Man, I can't believe he said that. I mean, you're not fearing the Lord right here. The God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Only God ever created, our true God, Jesus Christ. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. How do you flee from the presence of the Lord? Go ahead and disobey the Bible. No, I should say, how do you flee the presence of the Lord? By disobeying the Bible. When we disobey the Bible, you're supposed to be in church. You're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. You're mistreating a wife. The Bible says, render them due benevolence. You're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. When you go to that football game, you're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. When you're a jerk at work, you're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. When you refuse to tithe, you're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. We can go on and on and on. Okay, that's why God chastises us, to bring us back to Him, to correct us. If you don't yield to the chastisement, God will kill you. Okay, so and notice with me, Jonah cast into the sea. So in verses 12 and 16, that's when they didn't want to do it. That's when the men of the ship picked up Jonah, tossed him into the sea. Now look what in the world happened to this man. He disobeyed the Lord, and then hardships came into his life, just like Hebrews 12:7-9. Storms came in his life. What are the storms in your life when you disobey the Lord? Car got stolen, car got broken into, got fired. All right, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're wrestling and you hurt your neck. All kinds of stuff. You slip off the steps. Okay, all because you are not obeying the words of God. You're not obeying God through His word. You got to obey the Lord. I have to obey the Lord. Okay, that's running. That is running from the Lord. Okay, and then Jonah gets swallowed by the whale, the fish. He's in there, acid messing up his skin. And he starts praying, asking God for forgiveness. And he gets tossed out of it. He gets vomited out of the fish because the Lord spoke unto the fish. Now look at Jonah 3:1. And the word of the Lord, now the second chance, came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. Look, the Lord wanted him to do something, and now he's to preach, and he did it. He learned his lesson. He got chastised. He disobeyed the word of the Lord the first time. He got chastised, and the Lord came back to him because the Lord loves him. That's why the Lord chastises us. And guess what? Jonah obeyed. What can we get out of all this? You know, some people might say, I was all over the place. I think I was, right? But it's from, you know, I'm getting this stuff from the Bible. Now listen, am I running from God? You and I have to make careful concern that we're obeying this book. Are we reading it every day, like the Bible says, about meditating upon it day and night? We just read Joshua 1:8, I think. Let me look at my notes. Joshua 1:8, yeah. Meditating on his word day and night. Not forsaking the assembly, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. There's so many commands. Not drinking beer. The Bible says strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived is thereby not wise. The Bible says flee fornication. Do you run to women to do nastiness? The Bible says not to hang around fools. If you're doing the opposite, like the definition my friend sends me, prolonged disobedience to the word of God, you, my friend, are running from God. That's what running from the Lord is. That's what God showed me today. I was like, man, am I running from God? Well, I did a self-examination. I asked God to search me. Hey, look, I'm not perfect. I mess up a lot, but I'm trying to obey the words of God. If you, my friend, who's listening to this program, if you obey the words of God, all the 66 books of the Bible, then you're not running from the Lord. That's what I believe. That's what I'm gathering from this. The word came to Jonah. He fled. He disobeyed it. If a Bible verse comes unto you and you disobey it, you're fleeing from the Lord. This is random. There's some people out there. They know better. And they marry a woman. Right? A lot of people do this. And they're supposed to be Christians. They marry a woman who is divorced from her husband. You know, as far as they know, the husband wasn't beating up that wife, the ex-husband, but they divorce, you know, and then here comes some other Christian marrying that woman. Technically, in God's eyes, according to the Bible, she's still married to her ex-husband. Okay, when you marry her, despite what the Bible says, you are running from God. Prolonged disobedience is running from God. If God didn't tell you to go this direction, you're not sinning, okay? So I hope this helps. There's so much I can say about this, but I don't know how to articulately say it better. So the takeaway is, make sure you obey God by obeying His word. That is paramount. Pray and obey His word. Whatever the Bible says. And you obeyed. You're a disciple if you obeyed. So let's pray. God, this was a blessing to me when you showed this to me today. I pray that we all obey your word. It's a fight. It's a battle. But if, as long as we're obeying your book, doing what the Bible says, which is your actual words, then we are in your presence. If not, then we're running from you. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.